Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast.
How are you? Thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you very much for lending us your ears, your hearts, your souls.
Your minds.
This has been a strange morning for us, Graham, because we both were duped by the toilet. During the show, we went to the right-hand cubicle of the bathroom. We were both dropping trow. And then we realized halfway through that there was no toilet paper.
Do you know what? That happened to me this morning at about 6:45. But I didn't tell you because I was hoping you wouldn't put it on air. Because I knew if I said to you, geez, never guess what happened. I was in the cubicle there and I was caught short without any toilet roll.
I definitely would have brought that up on the airwaves.
And now you've brought it up on the podcast.
Oh, hello.
What's Callum doing?
Callum, producer Callum, a man from England.
Mute site.
Loving sending us WhatsApp pics.
Can't mute site because I got to play something off WhatsApp. We're logged into WhatsApp.
It will all make sense very soon. But yes, Graham and I, we got caught out in the right-hand side of the cubicle. So you drop trow and then you actually have to put on your pants and go to the other one.
Now, did you button up and zip up fully?
No.
Of course I
didn't. You don't have time for that because imagine if someone went into that cubicle. I was worrying that if I got up, went out of my cubicle to go to the next one, and someone walks in.
How close was I? Because I walked in after you.
Oh, I did it during the show, and it completely threw me. Walking around like Bruce Wayne, real itchy downstairs. Now, I'd like to begin this episode 81, with quite an interesting story. So, if you listen to Graham Nathan's Little Big Podcast, you'll be aware of a man called Lenny.
Who?
He's a friend of the podcast. He's a very strange man over the last few months. What did he do? Remember when I went on a date with a girl in Dalkey and out of nowhere, he appeared out of nowhere with a big bouquet of flowers? This is 5 minutes into the date.
All right, you sex pest.
That's what he said to me. All right, you sex pest. Instantly ruined that date. Then again, do you remember when Gary Neville was in this building? Man United legend. He's there filming some ad for Cadbury's and I'm in awe looking at this football legend when Lenny goes, "All right, you bastard, when I knock on the door, why don't you fucking open it?" And starts swearing at me and I go, "Lenny, stop, Gary," because he wasn't aware Gary Neville was there and just completely embarrassed me. So he's a very extravagant, eccentric man.
But the best part of that is everyone was told not to annoy Gary Neville, but Lenny went up and said, "Ah, Gary, how are things?" And he started chatting to Gary Neville. Like, the beautiful thing about Lenny is he doesn't give a feck about anything.
So every morning when we actually have our breakfast up in the kitchen, it's fair to say that we just can't wait to see Lenny. He's always there with his cup of coffee. He might nibble on something. Strange man, isn't he?
Yeah, you said you've got something prepared from Lenny and I don't know what it is.
So do you remember last week? I actually think you were in the bathroom at that time. He went up to my desk and he seemed like he had a problem. He seemed like he was nervous speaking to me. And I went, "You're right, Lenny." And he went, "Do you know what? I'm really embarrassed to have to go up to you. But I actually left my wallet at home and I'm wondering if you could lend me some money."
So why does he go up to the least well-paid presenter in the building?
He goes up to two presenters from Spin 103.8.
Bad choice if you're looking for money.
So I just decided to whip out my phone and to record our conversation. And this is Lenny begging for some money. I'm currently here with friend of the podcast, Lenny. Lenny, what did you just ask me?
I just... I just asked to see if I could borrow some money off you.
What's going on?
I forgot my lunch. I had it made, took it out, put it back down and didn't put it into my bag, left the house. And Sheena said, "You're after leaving your lunch here." And
What about wallet?
I also don't have my wallet with me.
I'm sorry, you leave the house without your wallet?
Will you stop rubbing it in, please? I've had to swallow my pride.
Do you leave?
This is a bit like going to the doctor, just finally admitting that you've got caught crot.
Yeah.
And going along to the doctor and going,
"But the issue,
I need to deal with this. You're really making it hard for me now."
The issue that I have is, you've come to me for money, like looking for money. I've given you money and you're not even happy with what
no,
I've given
because
you.
Look what you've given me. You've given me fucking coins. You don't lend anybody shrapnel. That really, that makes it so much harder for them. No, that makes it really hard for them, first of all, to swallow their pride, which is the hardest thing in the world to do, is to ask a work colleague to lend you some money, because they're like, oh my God, you're just a fucking scumbag. I think you've given me, hold on, I'm counting it here now. 1, 2, 3. So there's about 420 here, which will cover a modest lunch. And one of the 50 senses looks fucked anyway. It looks like you've been chewing it.
So what we're going to do here
this is so embarrassing.
No, stop. There's one clip we're going to play, and then we want to find out next week what you actually spent the money on. So this is interesting, and you can tell us what are good deals. So 420. Yeah.
I love that as well, because what it does is it pulls in the listeners from this, like, it's like a Netflix documentary. They're like, oh my God, in 10 seconds we're going to find out what Lenny got for lunch. It's so exciting.
What are you thinking? Do you want to give anything away? Like, what streets are you going to be hitting in town?
All I'll say is that I'm hoping it's edible and it won't be out of a bin.
If I see you down the canal with your pants down to your ankles.
Hold on, it's not Saturday night and it's not my birthday. Okay, so we'll find out next week. Oh my God, I'm so excited now.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
That's the first clip, and we're going to be playing the second clip as to what Lenny spent his money on just at the end of the podcast.
So just fast forward the end now, because the rest of this could be shite. How would you say, spend your St. Patrick's Day? I'm having a bad day speaking today.
Yeah. Do you remember when we watched that Conor McGregor documentary and he was saying how if you fluff up your words, you put a pen in your mouth?
Jesus, Conor McGregor. He was in Chicago, St. Patrick's Day, at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I'm actually going to play you a clip here now. I'm going to log on to Instagram on the computer.
I didn't realise he was in Chicago with Leo Varadkar.
Leo Varadkar didn't realise he was in Chicago with Conor McGregor, I tell that for a fact. Both of them were in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. However, Leo says he didn't know he was going to be the best
question ever given to Leo, and his response so quick was inspiring. So one woman journalist asked Leo, do you think Conor McGregor should be representing Ireland in the St. Patrick's Parade over here after all his convictions over the last year? Oh, if someone asked me that and I was Leo, the hamster wheel would be going so slowly. Leave me alone. No, Leo went, do you know what? You'd have to ask the organisers of the parade. I'm here representing the country. Connor's representing himself. Mic drop. Yes, Leo.
The thing about it, though, is Conor looks so much better than Leo in the parade because, as the thing I pointed out in Fully Charged, Leo's sash was upside down and his name was upside down because they all had sashes with their names on them. It was really annoying.
Does Leo not have a helper that could say, look, as your PR, you look like a goddamn fool?
Leo's partner was there. Why didn't he point it out? That was really annoying. But anyway, Conor McGregor then went to Boston, and he went to the ice hockey team, Boston Bruins, to give them, in inverted commas, a team talk. Now, Conor, have a listen to this and just see how... Let's have a listen to it. It's walking
What's
in.
Up, Boston Bruins? Yes! When I say Boston, you say strong! Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Yes! Remember, nothing heroic gets done without support, without unity. We must back each other. We must support each other. Before you go out, look left, look right. Know that these people that are with you are your brothers. These are the people you need to fight for. Fight until victory. Boys, I wish you the best. Let's go, Boston Bruins. Yeah. Get this puck when I drop it.
Wow.
Who's the captain? Who's the captain?
It's not over.
Get this puck when I drop it. This is your puck. This is your arena. Look, I love it. Who's the enforcer? All of you. Every fucking one of you is the enforcer.
Very intense.
Really intense.
If you see there's a Boston Bruins logo in the middle of it. See, you guys see it's really doing that. See here, boom. Is that logo there?
Yeah.
The Boston Bruins logo. Apparently, you're not supposed to stand on the logo. Everyone has to avoid the logo. He stood right in the middle of it, and everyone was commenting underneath. Stop standing the logo, Conor. Stop standing the logo. It's supposed to be a real tradition of the club.
I didn't know Conor McGregor is a big Man United fan. Did you know that?
He put that up this morning, didn't he?
He's coming out saying Solskjaer needs to be given the job. And starts talking loads about football. Marcus Rashford, Paul Pogba playing great under Solskjaer. I'm like, Connor, are you fighting again anytime soon?
He says he's going to fight Nate Diaz. He says Nate deserves it or something like that. Or he deserves to give to the fans. I know nothing about MMA. But he says he's going to fight Nate Diaz again. But I don't know. I think Connor is more into his business now with the all proper 12 than he is into his fighting. And of course, he came in after the game Boston Bruins won. And,
proper 12.
Create a proper 12. How is this man selling a proper 12 or making any money? He's giving so much away.
What's going on about Conor's dad, Tony?
Tony McGregor is having a coinage tour. He was in the Garavogue Bar in County Sligo on St. Patrick's Night. He was doing like people from Geordie Shore do. He was doing public appearances. So
VIP rooms sitting there.
And people getting photos with him. It's called the coinage tour.
That's the best thing that has ever happened to Tony. The coinage from the machine.
Tony McGregor, here we go. I'll get a video. Oh, was it on his story? No, it was on his story.
I would like to hang out with Tony McGregor.
I would rather hang out with Tony than Connor.
Yeah.
Connor was too intense to me and he'd scare me. While Tony would bring me for a ride on his boat in Dunleary and he'd call him Captain Tony and I'd say, yes, I love your boat. Just keep telling him he loves the boat. Tony has landed in the Garavogue. First night of the coinage tour 2019. I wonder, can we find out, where's he going? I want to go to Boland and Slorgan.
Do you have to pay for a ticket to see him? Yeah.
No, you just go to the club. I say you pay entry at the club where they go, Tony McGregor's here tonight, so it's €10 win. And they'd pay Tony so much to come and they'd hope that the money they would pay Tony would be made back on the door.
Would you love if you became as big as Conor McGregor and your dad Michael was doing all this?
Yes! I would love Dad to be going around touring Ireland.
Just loads of bottles of Wicked and Smirnoff Ice. Alright guys, how are you getting on?
Dad is now a DJ. He's launched the coinage tour. Here we go, the Irish Daily Mirror. He's a DJ. I've seen a video. He was standing behind the decks with the DJ. Conor McGregor's dad, Tony, knows no bounds when it comes to career moves, and his latest one sounds like his gas crack altogether. The famous father has announced the coinage tour and kicked it off by spinning some tunes in Sligo on Saturday night. The former taxi driver rocked the Garavogue and brought his son's belt with him to meet fans beforehand. Excuse me. After the event, Tony posted a picture of him posting with a bottle of his son's proper 12, going first night of the coinage tour. The good news for Tony is the Slim Fit Hugo Boss suit suits... His Slim Fit Hugo Boss suits the job as he can expect no coinage back from those reasonably priced Sligo pubs.
Have you tasted proper 12?
No. Talking Instagram, DJ Coinage, oh my God, showed off his belt as he rocked along to Big Papa by Notorious.
What was the first song? Big Papa was the first one.
Amazing.
That's a strong choice.
I want a list of everything. It doesn't give the list of where he's going to.
If you have met Tony McGregor, GrahamandNathan@gmail.com. What is he like in the flesh?
Tony would be the king. Let me see. I just want to get a list of where he's going. Dublin Life. Famous father, the coins are kicking off some interesting slightly Saturday night. So I think they're all just going off his Instagram. I don't think there's any been proper pushing. But St. Patrick's Day.
What did you do? Because you went back home.
I went back home. I got up in the morning time. I went for a gym session in Westport with my good friend Shane Costigan, listening to the podcast.
All right,
Costigan,
how are we getting on?
We left there. I missed Martin Guilfoyle by 2 minutes in the gym. Big, juicy
really?
Martin. He was DJing in Westport the night before. He was staying in the Cascade Hotel. And my best mate, John Salmon, works at the front desk. And he messaged me and goes, you literally just missed Martin Guilfoyle by 2 minutes. He was staying above the gym. And I was underneath it. Didn't
such
know.
A nice man. Marty, he always says to me when I speak to him, because he's such an interesting man. Love having a conversation with him. He goes, man, we should go gymming sometime. And I
no.
just think, I don't want to waste your time.
No.
I really don't.
He'd be very good for you, though. He'd give you a lot of pointers. Like, I know I tell you what to do, but I don't actually know what I'm talking about. Mine is all second and third hand information. He would know exactly what to do.
Yeah. And I'd see the results. Something that I haven't been seeing for a very long time.
Then I drove home. It was lashing rain, so I didn't go up to the local parade. I sat in there. I watched the Liverpool against Fulham game. Then I went uptown to all my boys. Had
a few pinties.
Had a few pints, and that was about it. A few people went to Westport. I stayed in Lewisburg, and that was it. It was actually one of the most enjoyable St. Patrick's Days I've had in a while, because it was just nearly all of my friends from when I was younger were all there. It was a really, really nice day.
Oh.
What about you? Did you go out? Did you leave town?
I did not go anywhere near town. I just stayed in the gated community, currently seeing a girl at the moment, and just hung out with her.
Shout out, girl. Can we just refer to her as girl from now on? Hello.
The girl.
Girl. We got an email. It popped up in my inbox yesterday. And I really want to read it.
Okay.
Because I think we don't have to do that much work in this podcast.
Lovely.
Because there's a good bit in this. Are you ready?
Juicy email?
Yeah.
Who's it from?
Mark Byrne, subject line IBS and best man advice.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, Mark Byrne.
Lads, I've been meaning to write for a while as I've listened to the Daily Podcast and the Big Little Big Podcast. It's a little big podcast, Marky boy.
Who cares, Mark? Just for listening to this, I love you, okay?
Since September.
Oh, September, October, November, December, January, February. Around 6-7 months.
That is good. Mark, we love getting new listeners. We absolutely love it. Both are always a great laugh. So you listen to our daily podcast and this podcast. That's a lot of Graham
and Nathan. Well, you must be sick of Graham and Nathan at this point.
You remind me, and I don't know if I've heard of these guys, of a young Ray Foley and JP when they used to be on Today FM at lunchtime. Do you know they? I'm only messing. I'm only joking.
Oh, that's a great. That's a great compliment.
It is.
You.
I was a big fan. The reason I got into radio was listen to Ray Foley and JP at lunchtime all the time. So
the reason I got into radio was I was asked, "Do you want to get on to radio?" I went, "All right." What else would I
what
be doing
story.
With my life?
What a story! You don't take yourselves too seriously, and don't try to be something you aren't. Your general slagging and crack is gas. I was on a big spin listener. I was a big spin listener as a teenager. I even phoned into Jack and Ali back in the day. Who are Jack and Ali?
Why are you asking me that question?
Jack and Ali.
I have no idea about radio. Jack and Ali, they're two strong names. They're trustworthy names. You listen to them. I wonder, were they on the Zoo Crew? Or were they?
Oh, here we go.
Jack and Ali.
Here we go. Jack and Ali. Former Spin 103.8. Oh my God. It's Dave Moore.
Sit down.
Dave Moore
just off touring on Three Arena.
Dave Moore bought some fruit in that he's holding like a pair of balls.
What?
And penis.
A penis.
No, it's a banana and two plums.
Dave, can you please speak to our listener about your experience Three Arena on Saturday night?
Hello, my name is Dave and I am not a comedian. I have never done stand-up. I have no experience of doing stand-up. And then 2 years ago, my co-host went, "Hey, I've booked us a date in the Cork Comedy Festival." And I went, "Us?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, what am I going to do?" And he's like, "Well, let's just do it." So we did Cork, we did Galway, and then we did a nationwide tour. And then we're back doing another nationwide tour this year.
Boom, boom.
Can
I get tickets for that?
Yeah, you can buy them, ticketmaster.ie.
Good stuff.
Go plug.
Just search Dermot and Dave, ticketmaster.ie.
Nice. Yeah, that's a nice
where are we playing? You're playing we're in Dublin.
Vicar Street.
And tickets still available?
5th of April, a few left for that, and a few left for the 10th of May in Vicar Street.
I love if after this podcast you look, tickets really soared once we plugged it here.
So would I. They're big venues, those ones. But anyway, yeah, we were asked to do the Paddy's Day Ha Ha Ha, which is comic relief, effectively, for Ireland. The brainchild of Deirdre O'Kane and a couple of other people to raise money for amazing charities. They asked us to do it, and it was like, okay.
Amazing, yeah.
So we went down on the day, and there was Neil Delamere and Pat Short and Kevin McAleer.
Tommy Tiernan.
Tommy Tiernan was there. David O'Doherty.
Oh, wow.
It's all the heavy hitters. If you're in, this is a heavy hitting comedy scene.
We were like, wow, obviously Deirdre O'Kane.
What's it like,
well,
the green room behind?
Really good vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all sound. They're actually all really sound. And I kind of knew pretty much everyone, I suppose, from the radio. Mm. Anyway, we got asked to do it. We were like, this is incredible. And then they give you your time slot or the duration. They're like, you've got 7 minutes. And everyone has about 7, 8. Obviously, Tommy might have 15 because he's Tommy. But everyone has 7 or 8
and
or 10
And did you
minutes.
Go up on stage beforehand, a little sound check?
Yeah.
What time do you do that at?
Do that 5 o'clock. Walked in.
And you have to do your jokes?
No other comedian would need to do a sound check except for if you've got a guitar.
Okay.
Like we had a guitar. We took a bit of our previous show that works in that kind of 7 minute time slot and said, let's do that. It's a crowd pleaser.
And do the comedians seem nervous in the green room?
Some comedians do. Tommy Tiernan was saying he wanted to have a mandarin, but he said if he had a mandarin, he'd do a bad set, so he had a grape instead.
Wow.
And he was genuinely
superstitious.
Like, genuinely,
yeah.
And was like, because I can't have a mandarin now, I'll have a mandarin after. So the rider, as you can tell, was really rock and roll. Grapes.
One grape.
Anyway, so we got up, so we did our sound check, it all sounded fine, played a few songs, did whatever. That was great. I played guitar on the Three Arena stage. Like, the first thing I played was Slayer. Cool. Like, oh, I'm sure the sound guy was going, what's going on? Anyway, that was fine. Then we went back into the green room, and then somebody came in with a running order, and they went, okay, guys, so Deirdre O'Kane's going to come out and do 1 minute about poverty, and then she's going to introduce Dermot and Dave. I was like, sorry, what? Like, is there not a warm-up act? Like, a guy who goes out and gets, you know, 12,000 people revved up for the night. You're just going to talk about poverty and then it's us. Yeah. Okay, that'll be interesting. So, whatever.
You just were you in. Nervous?
I actually wasn't nervous.
That's amazing.
But you know what's funny? Like, I get a weird zen-like non-nervousness that I don't get on anything else in my life. Except for doing this kind of comedy stuff, which is so weird for someone who's not a comedian.
Do you do the cliched statement of, I feel more comfortable up on stage than in real life?
I know I'm pretty comfortable in real life. Yeah, I wear a thing called a tuxedo. Or a tracksuit. What is it called? Anyway.
A tracksuit?
No, something else. What do I have?
I love a tracksuit.
Don't know.
What's it called?
Oh, the comfy tracksuit thing.
The all-in-one onesie, tracksuit onesie. No. Tuxie.
Tuxie.
Oh. Is it a case that you're not nervous because you're not a comedian?
Possibly so.
And that it's not your job.
Yeah.
This is kind of a side business.
Yeah, I think I feel like it's like people get freaked out about where they are on the bill. You know, even on a charity night, you know, like, oh, Neil Delamere is on before Pat Short, or, you know, Fred Cook is on late because he's doing Dancing with the Stars. Like, I'm like, whatever, we'll just do our show and then move on. Like, I don't know. So I suppose, I'm not as invested in it.
And a bit of your performance is you're singing songs, then is Dermot cracking a few jokes? So, both of you are bouncing off each other.
Yeah, so what it is we teach you how to sing like your favorite singer. So it's teaching you musical impersonations. So to sing like Cher, for example, you just need to sound like a horny seal. Things like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's that, and then so we each do, like, I do one, he does one, I do one, he does one, whatever, and I play the guitar in each one.
Yeah. I just love the idea. I don't know if you've said this before on the podcast, but you definitely told us that you and Dermot would just meet up one day, book out some hotel function room or just a room that they have, and you're trying to write out material for your tour. That seems so frightening.
Make something out of nothing. That is the hardest part about being creative. Whether it's like your radio stuff or whether it's comedy or whether it's music or whatever. You literally start with nothing. And you go, you must make something.
But the thing is, you had already sold tickets to this tour without having any content.
No thanks.
That's the worst.
Oh.
Like,
do you have to do that because you won't come up with material if you don't have the monkey on your back?
No, it's just the way it goes. I mean, like, yeah, you just stuff is so, like, we had sold, I wanted to do a really small gig in Galway at the Comedy Carnival to test out material. I wanted to go down to the International Bar here in Dublin just to test some stuff out. And Dermot was like, yeah, cool, I'll organise it. And he came back and he went, we're doing 2 nights in a theatre with 900 people. I was like, this isn't a test! It's a full, how long is the show? He's like, 2 hours. I'm like, right, brilliant. Sorry, I probably wrecked your podcast.
It's amazing.
Do you do some of your material for your wife?
Oh,
to kind of test
question.
It out.
No, because if you want me to be nervous and is to perform in front of her, she is the least impressed and impressible person I've ever met. So, like, you know, I could do something amazing in work, you know, or I could win an award, or I could interview somebody. I could do a really good job, come home and go, hey, I X, Y, Z. And she'd be like, cool, you didn't put the bin out last night. Oh, sorry, yeah,
I've got
the
bins. Oh, she grounds you.
Oh, like, you have no,
really?
Like, no idea. Like, there's nothing about my job that impresses her, or anything I do.
Just very quickly speak about, because you and Dermot, you went over to Australia and the flight back. It's a hell of a story.
Okay.
Just what happened
the
there.
The short version is, do you know when you're on autopilot and you know something for certain? You know, you just know it. I knew that our flight was at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock in the evening, because I remember just going, like, it's so cool having that extra day in Sydney. Like, we're going to get up in the morning, don't have to rush to the airport, check out of the Airbnb, take our time. So I was in Cairns in North Queensland, and I flew to Sydney a week earlier. We spent a week there, and the girl at the car hire desk said, "Hey, what time is your flight out on the Saturday, the whatever it was, Friday, 1st of March? Because we need to work backwards from your flight time." to tell you what time to drop here, because we have to ferry you from here on a minibus to the airport, and we will not be responsible if you miss your flight. I was like, cool, 7 o'clock. She's like, okay. I was like, will it be here at 4? She's like, no, you better be here at 3. I was like, nice. Cool, 3, yeah. Be here at 3. It was a bit late because it was such a relaxing day, and I got there about 3:40. At which point, I got a text from Dermot saying, hey, haven't boarded yet. All cool. And I went, what? It's like, he's the latest person I know. Why is he in the airport? So I rang him and went, what are you doing in the airport? He's like, just at the gate. Where are you? And I was like, no. The flight's in like 3.5 hours. He's like, the flight's in 45 minutes. I was like, no, what? He's like, dude, our flight's at like 4:40.
And are you on the phone while your wife and kids are in the car behind you?
Laughing, joking.
No, my wife saw the WhatsApp gone. Like, the WhatsApp was, whatever, at the boarding. Still haven't boarded yet. All cool. She saw that, so she looked at me and was like, what? And I was like, what does he mean?
She's like, you better ring him.
So I rang him, found out that the flight was effectively gone. It was 40 minutes away, and we were like an hour away in traffic. But here's the thing. That is such a test of a relationship, okay? Because it's my fault. Like, 100%, no one's fault except mine.
You put up the hand?
Oh, like, it's my fault. She straight away went, right, here's what we're going to do. And was we. And it was everything from then on was like, how much is this going to cost us? What's the story? Where are we staying tonight? And I was like, I love this woman so much. Because she could easily turn around and just go, you did this. You're an idiot. You made the mistake. The kids and I are whatever. And that, look, and that would be understandable. I wouldn't have even, I wouldn't have held it against her. But she didn't. And that was amazing. And it kind of reaffirms your marriage and all that kind
of
stuff.
That is lovely.
So it was worth it.
No.
No, we lost a lot of money.
We probably could have done counselling for a lot less money and buying 6 tickets for tomorrow from Sydney.
What was the kids' reaction? Like, yay, another night in Australia.
Three of them were like, yay. One of them, the eldest fellow, was a little bit upset because he just wanted to go home to his friends. Now, he enjoyed Australia. Yeah. You know that mindset of like, we're going home.
He's ready
like,
to go.
Oh my God, because I'm going to get home at 6 in the morning because it's going to be tomorrow. And 6 in the morning. And then I'm going to stay up. And then I'm going to go up to see Charlie. And then I'm going to see Ben. And it was like, we're staying there an extra day, and there were
say
tears.
Goodbye to Charlie and Ben.
Yeah. Boys, I didn't mean to interrupt this for so long. I just
always
wanted to bring you some fruit.
You want to bring us a banana and 2 plums?
Can I come on the podcast properly?
We'll do a proper one.
Well, definitely, we'll like a full
not,
on.
Not like in the next month or so, because you're, obviously, you know.
I want a full on episode.
But just tour to please plug our tickets. We sponsor your tickets. Our tickets sponsor your show.
If you don't buy tickets to Dermot and Dave for their tour in April and May, then we're not going to be your friends. There you
go. And how long is the show? Like, if you're going to see you.
Oh, you're going out? Oh, it's a full night. Like, you got a support act first, then a little break to have a little drink and go to the toilet, and then settle in.
It's delightful.
75, 80 minutes of
where can you buy the tickets one more time?
Ticketmaster.ie. We're all over the country. I realise you probably got a strong Dublin audience.
Give us a flavour. Will there be Noni? Will there be a lot of guitar?
Loads of guitars. I've got like 4 guitars.
Throwing merch into the crowd?
Yes, we fling merch into the crowd.
Oh, this is brilliant. Come on, it has everything.
T-shirts, socks, loads.
Why wouldn't you go? That's the question I want to ask.
Dave, want a proper big episode?
Deep dive.
I want deep dive, and I want you to sing a few songs as well.
Okay, boys, I'm going home. I love you to bits.
Dave, we love you.
Thank you, Dave Moore.
The nicest man in radio.
This podcast sustains me.
The nicest man in radio and in life. Dave Moore. Absolutely fantastic.
Who the hell are Jack and Ali?
Who are they?
Let's find out. They've got an interview. We'll find exactly everything. That was Dave. Radiotoday.ie. I feel bad because I usually... Jack and I have joined Radio Nova for Saturday, for a Saturday morning show.
This is Radio Nova in Dublin.
Yeah, so April, this is 2015. Jack, I started out working, I want to see what they say about Spin. So doing a Q&A.
It's a Q&A article.
Jeez, this is, I really like Howard Stern in the 80s, know a lot about the smutty stuff, but his honesty and sharing his life. I like Zoe Ball in the 90s. Great to hear the first woman on BBC Radio 1's breakfast show.
Was that Jack or Ali?
So Jack was Howard Stern, Ali was Zoe Ball.
I like the sound of these
two. So do I.
Jack and Ali.
What's your biggest gaffe on air? Here we go. Jack and Ali. Without pointing the finger, one of us on air read out phonetic after the producer had spelled out Leo Varadkar's name phonetically. He was new at the time. We never really got to interview him because as soon as it was said, we both burst out laughing and couldn't stop. He was really nice about it. Okay, it was Ali. She's mortified. I don't get that.
Was it that the producer had written, this is how you pronounce Varadkar, phonetically,
and they said
phonetically. Yeah, I wanted a bit of a racier story, if I'm honest.
I like this.
We get back
What would we say? What's the biggest gaffe we've made on air? I know your biggest gaffe.
Mine is I interviewed a homeless man.
Do you remember the gaffe, which I can't remember at the time now, did I get angry?
I should say I thought the homeless man was Fred Cook, the comedian.
Oh yeah, you interviewed.
Wouldn't be a gaffe me interviewing a homeless man.
Yeah.
The fact is this homeless person was pretending to be Fred Cook. And live on the air, I had a big conversation with him thinking he was the stand-up comedian Fred Cook. What's your gaffe, Graham?
I can't remember my gaffe, but I know...
My gaffe?
Yeah.
What one?
Remember the time when we were giving away an Xbox? And I can't remember what the sponsor was, but it was your job to mark the questions. Mm. And say one person came on and they got 5, and another person got 4. And you go, it's 5 and it's 4. And I'm just like, that person got more than 4. So you gave the Xbox to the other person.
Oh, wow.
And then
Jesus.
We looked off here and I go, they both got 5. And
we had to
ring them back.
And do it again.
Explain to them on the phone line.
But I'm an idiot.
And then we said, can we do a tiebreaker? And luckily the person you said won it anyway off air. But I remember that.
That's a big gaffe.
I was really annoyed.
That's not as racy.
But I don't think I got angry. I think I remember thinking, I've made mistakes. It's okay.
We all make mistakes.
Everyone
brother.
Makes mistakes.
We're all human.
There's no point getting angry anymore.
Here, do you know what? Let's get back to this email.
I really want to find out the feck Jack and Ali are.
I'm concerned how long this podcast is.
Yeah, me too. But these look cool.
We will revisit Jack
I'm
and
going Ali. To find out who they are.
You can do that next week.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Is that okay?
Back to the email. So Mark Byrne listened to Jack and Ali.
I'm not going to lie to yous. Ye have Martin and Dirren to thank for getting me tuned into yous.
Thanks very much, guys.
When they were on the Zoo Crew, but a great find it was. I'm 2 years your senior, so get your culture references. Yes! Like, I presume, Coronation Street and Big Brother.
Thank God.
We didn't say that, but I'm presuming. And enjoy Graham's stories about growing up in the country, as I did too. Anyway... I was down in Westport for a weekend away with the family, and on Monday we were driving back and stopped off in Terminbarry for a piss stop in the petrol station about 3:30. I was checking out the Easter eggs in the shop while waiting for the others, and then suddenly, I think I was starstruck, and maybe have even seen the one and only Graham O'Toole walk past me in the corner of my eye.
Is that you, Graham? Were you in the toilets of that petrol station?
I had that petrol station earmarked for this. When I left Lewsburg, I go, I'm going to stop off
in
Terminbarry.
Is that the petrol station?
Yeah. You know the petrol station.
Can you give a little bit of an insight without actually explaining
it? Okay, these aren't my words, and I'm only saying this because it's already on the podcast.
Yes.
I did not want to say this. No. This is very crude. This is going to be very crude when I'm about
to say. If it's crude, Nino, crude alarm.
I don't want anyone.
Don't be offended by this.
Being offended.
Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
No, that was disgusting. Well, look, I'm telling you now, for the next 2 minutes, fast forward.
God, 2 minutes.
This petrol station in Terminbarry is known as a petrol station in my local town, in the local GA club, as the place where people go with their diesel dick.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't think you were actually going to say the... Go on.
Well, I've told them now. If you're offended,
okay.
Turn it down.
No, that's fair. What is diesel dick?
Some fella on the team, on my old Dole team from years and years ago, said that if he's driving and he gets horny...
Oh, I'm offended.
He goes in here to the toilet.
And is that an official term, diesel dick?
I didn't hear about it until I heard. I think it's disgusting.
And I
don't do it.
Is that well known? And is that why you were there?
No, it's there because it's actually a good service station and has frank and honest coffee.
Okay.
And I like that one. So I went in there. Now, the problem is I did go in there for a piss, but the toilets were broken and the queue was massive. There must have been only one toilet in there. But that is the one. And I've only said it because we said in the past, you made me say it
before. Will I call this podcast Diesel Dick?
No, don't.
Don't, I won't.
Don't be crude.
That's crude. Well, you've been crude.
I couldn't help but laugh and think Graham might be having an IBS emergency. And be stuck in the queue for the Jacks, which there was a massive queue, but I didn't need an IBS.
You should have gone up to Graham.
I was tempted to go after him and shout at him about this to embarrass him, but thought better of it. As a fellow light IBS sufferer, maybe because this would cause him more distress.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, my IBS isn't actually that bad anymore. I think I spotted this guy because I think we made eye contact.
Oh, I hope you smiled.
Now, I think I saw this guy at the deli, not at the Easter eggs, because I was being real coy. So it was a time of the evening, about it was 3:30 actually. And I wanted to get something. I didn't want to get a sandwich because I had a sandwich before I left.
Is this on a Saturday or Sunday?
This is on Monday.
Monday, oh yes.
Driving up.
Right.
And I went to the deli, but there was no one really at the deli. So I wanted to have a look without anyone asking me anything. But it was 3:30. A deli in the countryside. The food has been out there since about 8:00.
Oh, it's going to be dry.
So I had a little look. And then the one, you're right. I go, no, I'm sound, thanks. And I walked away, did a big lap. And I got my coffee. And then I wanted to have another look. And there was another guy at it, and I kind of look over, and this guy, now I don't know if he thought I was looking at him or maybe it was Mark, made eye contact, and then I kind of strolled over to the deli to have another look,
and shoplifted,
and a woman comes over and goes, are you right there? I'm fine.
Yep, that's a confidence.
So what did I get? I went walking up and down the aisles, and what I do whenever I'm driving and I'm trying to be not getting a sandwich and bread and stuff, went towards the protein bars.
I was going to say, did you go for a Fulfill protein bar?
And I looked at them and I picked one up. And
no,
I put it back.
Put it back.
I got a Kinder Bueno.
Damn right.
Got a Kinder Bueno.
Protein bars, how good are they for you?
Well, they do fill you up, and this Kinder Bueno didn't really fill me up.
Gives
so, Mark, it was me. If you see me again, please come up. That is so. Isn't that a small world?
Small world.
Small world or coincidence?
Both.
I think it's a small world. That's small world. Mark listens to our podcast. He's one of the 9 people.
Handful,
yeah. Who listens to our podcast, and he saw me in the petrol station where it's been made famous on this podcast.
Diesel Dick.
For Double D's in Terminbarry. Nice little shop.
Hope Mark wasn't in there for that.
Well,
we'll never know.
The guy I made eye contact with looked a little bit flush in the face.
Yeah, of course.
Now we move on. I know, Nathan, you had a mention of your best man for your brother. I am too.
Oh, cool.
The wedding is at the start of the summer. We are heading to Galway for the stag this weekend. Oh my God, unbelievable. The plan is to go to Skill Zone and drinking, but looking for any pranks to play on my brother, but nothing major. Right.
See, you've asked the wrong person, because I won't be playing any pranks with my brother. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to be handcuffed to a pole. He doesn't want a stripper. And I'm not saying that going, oh, I wish I could, because it's less organizing for me.
Here's the prank, and it's nothing. This isn't too serious, a nice little one. Why don't you organize to get one of his ex-girlfriends to show up and try and shift him?
Yeah, that's. I don't see a problem with that. What could you do? Oh. Do you have to do it? Mark, ask yourself, will it really benefit the weekend if you do it?
Yeah.
Will it really?
I will benefit Mark and all his mates.
Don't give your brother loads of drinks as well.
This is because Nathan's afraid of his brother and his brother's opinion of him. Well, I think you should do it.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, and I always give out to Nathan for prepping on the podcast, and I'm sorry that came out of nowhere, and I apologise, as I would always give out to you. Always.
You always.
I give out to you when you prep on microphone.
We could do a montage of every time I burped on this podcast, and you go, oh, Nathan,
get a grip. Came out, no, I was yawning and it came out. Right. A prank that you can do that isn't too serious.
Could you pretend to have a fake tattoo?
What?
Could you have a...
Go on.
A fake tattoo of your brother on your arm and went, I got you this, brother. I got a tattoo of you. No, look, it's not funny. It's not cool. But I'm just trying to...
I think you either go hard or go home. Tie him to a lamppost. That's it.
Why would you do that?
I don't
understand pranks. Don't understand those pranks. Because the thing is, if you have to do this prank, we know from when we prank each other, you feel awful. You won't enjoy this at all.
No, I think Mark will.
Okay.
Where are we going to? Also, I need some speech advice. Now, this is because we've had a talk about this. I've lots of stories about us growing up, but feel they included me too much and don't want to make it about me.
Oh.
Finally, his fiance is demanding she reads the speeches before the big day.
Oh, come on.
Which I feel will ruin the buzz. Do you think?
Yeah.
My speech will not be crude, but how do I say no to this without causing a fuss?
That's a really great question. Okay, first of all, with speeches, I relate to you, Mark, because a little bit of me is I'm worried I'm going to be too self-indulgent, because I'm thinking, oh, I'm on the radio. Can I try and get a video?
So don't say it, just in case it gets out, because it's still kind of good. We brainstormed really quickly a really good idea.
Yeah.
And it would be really clever.
It would
be so clever and so well done.
I think it's really close to being self-indulgent.
That's the problem. We thought it would be really class, but it does involve you a lot.
It does.
And your connections.
Yeah, and I've asked a few friends about it, and they're not that receptive. They think, oh, it could be cool, but they also think you can't rely on it. I don't think you can.
You can't rely on getting
a certain...
I think you can. I think if you asked this person, they would do it.
Yeah.
I think you would. But so it involves Nathan doing something. It involves a radio and then a person who would be of a...
connections.
Kind of very famous.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like a great idea, but it could be too self-indulgent.
And I don't know how it would actually... the mechanics of doing it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
See, it's a lot about
you. It's very
you.
Vague, and it's a lot about
so
me.
So how do you strike that balance about... But then if you did it, you were going to so much effort to put in for your brother's big day. That's another side of the story where we're kind of looking and goes, oh, it is very self-indulgent, you're doing this. But when people are outside of the media bubble per se, go, fucking hell, you got that person for your brother.
Yeah.
Man. See, that's another good thing.
I know what you mean.
There's two sides to the story where... Because like what Sean did for his sister was absolutely lovely. He got a load of people to say wish his sister and her husband well on the wedding
now,
day.
That wasn't a speech.
It
I should
wasn't.
Say that was just afterwards, and he wanted to just show her that video just one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like that's not in front of loads of people.
So my thought about that is everybody who saw that absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Sean put a lot of effort in and he used his connections in the media to make this video for her. Would it be the same if it was put on the big screen in front of everybody in the ceremony? Like, he got the likes of Picture This, he got Dermot and Dave, he got Ian Dempsey, he got
Connor Murray.
Yeah, there were sports stars, music stars, presenters, and she absolutely loved it. And everyone thought it was class, and the parents were like, oh, show this person to this person. Would it have been different if it was put on in the ceremony, as in the hotel afterwards?
Possibly, because the tone of how you do it when you go, look, I just made you something here. And it's them then pushing for it to be played. Oh, I want to show Mike. I want to show.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're standing there, right, rolling, action, have a look at this video. I don't know. And I'm a huge overthinker. I think we overthink these things all the time.
Right, let's get back to
the speech.
Stories. Mark has loads of stories about him and his brother.
Okay, I haven't planned for my speech yet, but what I'm...
When's the wedding?
Next year. Next May.
Oh, okay.
May 2020. Yeah, yeah. What I'm thinking is, you want to start...
I'll just give a background on Nathan and Evan. They have gone on holidays, just the two of them, twice before.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of stories. They're very close. So you would have a lot of stories like Mark.
Yeah. But I should say, Evan as a person, we don't have that relationship where it's, I'm not going to go, I remember that time where Evan had his pants down to his ankles down a laneway. That is not the tone he wants. That's me trying to read the room knowing my parents will be there, his fiance's parents will be there. That won't go well. So I need to strike the balance of trying to have a bit of a laugh but not be really, oh, do you remember when you got with seven girls? Never did.
Well, I don't think anyone would do that.
If he did get with seven girls, that'd be impressive. I probably would mention that in the speech if I'm honest with you. So I plan to just be light, maybe speak about a few travel trips. I think you have to briefly touch on the fiance. Mm. Just say you're looking great. Great to have her family here.
What I think you need to do as well is, and Mark, if you're the same, if you know you're very close to Evan's brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, not brothers, sorry. They
friends.
Are your brothers too. Friends.
Yeah.
If you can get a story or two.
From them.
From them and go... And now we have, we can welcome Maddie's out there. Maddie, of course, grew up with Evan. I'll never forget the time where Maddie and Evan did blah, blah, blah. And Mark, if it's the same with you. So if you can somehow...
Include others.
So if people go, oh, Nathan made it all about himself. And some will actually know because didn't he include Maddie?
Yeah, that's a great point, Graham. Also, how long should a speech go on for?
Not too long.
Yeah.
Like, don't go on.
Because people get kind of bored.
5 minutes.
You think?
What did our lecturer always used to tell us?
Show the ankle, not the leg.
There you go.
And also end on a sincere tone.
Yeah.
End with it being like, you know, I'm so honored. There's a lot of eyes. Be like, I think you're going to be great together. I wish you the best of luck. Blah, blah, blah.
Now, this is the issue and the thing.
Oh, the fiance. Mm. Yeah, that's a tough one there.
Not really. I've got all the answers.
You think?
Just a reminder, finally, his fiance is demanding she reads all the speeches before the big day, which I feel will ruin the buzz. My speech will not be crude, but how do I say no without causing a fuss? You tell her that you have to include her in the speech and that you have to include maybe a story about her or something like that, and you don't want to ruin the surprise for her.
But is Mark lying to her if he doesn't have a story about her?
Well, then you'd have to fit her in. Either that or have Two speeches.
It all depends on speeches. Your relationship with the fiancé.
Two speeches. Two speeches.
What do you mean by two speeches?
I mean, you give her a diluted version of the speech. And you say, this is the speech. Oh, you're not going to be crude, then there's no problem. And then you give her the other... you give her the diluted version, but then you've got the real version in your back pocket where you might be next to a story here and there to get a few more laughs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
if she's going to be doing this, she's going to start editing things.
Yeah, if you're confident in your speech, like, don't be an idiot, Mark. If you really think the speech is fine, not going to be a big deal, just say to her, look, trust me on this. I really don't want to show you it. You got to trust me. It'll be fine. Come on.
Yeah, she's going to be a future sister.
Yeah, you'd be like...
Think about it.
Look... Jesus.
Mark, you seem like a good guy.
You're a good guy, Mark. You get diesel dick and you go into...
People who tuned out 2 minutes ago, or for the 2 minutes a couple of minutes ago, now don't know what you're talking about.
Do you think they tuned out?
Some people don't like us talking about crew things.
Okay, well, what do you...
Forget about it.
Do you want me...
Forget about it. Forget about it.
Do you want me to speak about it?
No, I don't want to speak about it.
I just...
Ruined the podcast. It's going so well. What I would say is, tell her, first of all, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't want to do it. Because she's going to start editing things. What's the point in her reading the speech? She's going to start editing things. Then say, look, if she's being persistent, look, you're in the speech and I don't want to ruin it for you. Then I'd say give her a dumbed down version. And anyway, give her the version, then start, if you're good at talking.
Free flowing, yeah.
Free flowing. Just, or tell you whatever I wrote down. That's a bit of a...
And also, my advice to you, what I plan to do as well, I don't know what you think about this, Graham, just with... Is it, where do you write out the speech? On little cards?
Oh, yeah, little cards.
Yeah.
There's a name for them, and I can't think of it right
Nothing
now.
Nothing wrong reading off them,
no!
But from time to time, break away and look into the crowd.
Yeah, but you'll know your speech off so much that, you know, you'll be able to, if it's a story you can tell, then...
Any more in that email?
Yeah, keep up the good work, lads. Love the stories you tell about night outs years ago and Nathan being in the fridge, etc.
Cheers, Mark.
P.S. If it was Graham, I seen, well, I presume it was, or at least it was my lookalike at the exact same time as me on the same day. He didn't look that small or as grey as I thought he would be. Well,
that's a compliment.
That is a compliment.
Cheers, Mark. And Mark, let us know how you're getting on with the speech. If you actually want to send us in some of your speech, we can read it out. I'm sure your fiancé doesn't listen to this, or your brother's fiancé, let's be honest.
yeah, it does seem like the person that
we
listen to.
I feel like we should try and start tying up strings here. I think we should go okay, so thank you so much for listening.
I completely forgot about that.
What did Lenny buy for 420?
Hey guys, here I am. I'm in the throes of a post show hunger slump. I could die, I could faint, or I could kill somebody. Because my hunger is that bad right now. It's one of those situations where I have no idea what I'm going to buy with my lunch bounty. It's looking pretty fucking crazy. I'm just around by the pears, and I'm wondering if I should just get a basket of fruit and just eat it at my desk. Or I don't know what to do. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Maybe I'll go with the quiche if I want to eat like a king. Hiya, how you doing? Can I get a roast turkey baguette, please, if you have one? Thanks a million. Brown, please. If you have brown there, that would be great.
Yeah.
So, just... yeah, if you have it, please, yeah, thanks. If you have brown there, that would be great. If you have brown there, that would be great. If you have brown there, that would be great. If you have brown there, that would be great. If you have brown there, that would be great.
Lenny in the building, and one I wanna see. His name is Lenny.
Yeah.
I love some Benny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's
Come
like
on.
Kenny from
Come
South
on.
Park.
Kenny.
On the dot.
You kill Kenny.
Then little thing
yeah.
gets the dot
hey.
To Dorky.
That has
to
been
Dorky.
Episode 81. We have left our blood, sweat, and tears into this episode. Thank you so much. Rate and review this. Tell all your friends. Tell all your enemies. Thank you. Peace.
Hey, thanks for making it to the end of Graham and Nathan's Little Wig Podcast. If you loved the show this week, make sure you rate and review. Help other people find the podcast by giving it a 5-star rating and a nice review. Help to push it up the charts and let other people discover the magic of Graham and Nathan's Little Wig Podcast. They'll be back next week. I'm Uncle Snork. See you later.